You may kill me, but you may never insult me. Who am I? Captain Jack Sparrow.
Get the truth about movies on the movie show.
If he were telling the truth, he wouldn't have told us.
Tell them, Sparrow.
Unless, of course, he knew you wouldn't believe the truth, even if he told it.
Hello?
Joey, it's Ross. I need some help.
Help has come your way because you are listening to the movie show.
What is up?
Hello.
This is the movie show.
On Active FM.
With your hosts.
Sashi.
I always say Sash, right? And I don't understand why you are now I'm going to add to your name. I just have to find something.
To confuse.
Okay, Ryan.
Hello. Because then it's like a full stop.
Just like this is completely a side note. It has nothing to do with what we're talking about today. But whenever Ryan and I greet each other, we actually don't say hello. We just say each other's names.
Exactly.
So from now on, we'll just be like...
Viewer. Listener.
Listener. And then we'll get straight into it. You know, because everyone's on the same page. We don't want to waste time with like trivial. Even though we speak about trivia, it doesn't matter. We want to, you know, get into the trivia of the film.
Exactly. Yes. So it's like, listener. So this show is interesting. That's it.
Wow.
Or, listener, Active FM.
Sup. All right. So this film is called The Tomorrow War. Yes, The Tomorrow War. It is a prime video film. In other words, it is on Amazon's streaming site. Just in case you're wondering what Prime is, that is what Prime is. And it is a 2021 film. And
yes,
it is an action sci-fi.
How
directed
cool.
by Chris McKay.
Yes.
If you don't know who that is, don't worry. I didn't know either. He apparently, I actually don't think I've watched any of his other films. He apparently directed the Lego Batman movie. The Lego Batman movie 2. Yeah.
How weird is that?
And apparently Chris Pratt was one of the voices in the Lego movie.
Yeah.
So it was a...
Yeah, he was the guy, the man.
I have not. You watched the Lego movie,
yeah,
didn't you?
Yes.
I didn't watch it.
Yeah, in fact, he actually played two voices there.
Oh, really?
One of the characters had a double. It was the bad him and then the good guy. And then
was he Batman?
No, he wasn't.
Oh, okay. No. Interesting stuff, man. The budget for the film was $200 million. Now, I know what you're thinking. That's a lot of money. No, I'm joking. That's not what we're thinking.
Money.
What we're thinking is, so what is the box office? Because it was released on a streaming site. So does it have a box office? Well, actually, it currently does not. So if you search, because it was released on a streaming site, it actually was supposed to be released in cinemas. So Paramount Pictures, actually, they were intending to release it in the theater. So it was intended for theatrical release. But due to COVID-19, Paramount sold the film to Amazon Prime for $200 million.
On the dot.
I don't understand that.
So they made as much as they spent.
No, they didn't make anything. They just made up for sold making
it.
A movie. It's like, okay, guys, we're not in debt anymore. It's like we never made the movie in the first place. Like, literally.
And I believe that at the time of whenever this was written on the Wikipedia page, like there were 94-something million people who watched. You know, if you're a what? Prime? Is it
Prime subscriber,
Prime
yeah.
Prime subscriber. There were 94.8 or something like that million views? Views of the movie? Watched?
Did they not believe
views?
In their own film? Like, why would you sell your film for the exact same that it cost to... Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, were they like, no, guys, it's all going to do good anyway, so let's just get our 200 million back, and then we can, you know, like, rethink this.
Yeah. Let's just make what we spent.
That's sad. When I read that, I was like, what? Why would they do that? Whose idea was that? That person needs to be slapped. Whoever's closest to them, slap them now.
Shoot him. Shoot him right now. Yeah, I actually thought it was... I thought that this movie was a continuation of The Edge of Tomorrow. And it's funny because it's a similar story, isn't it? There's aliens.
I never thought of that.
There's aliens and they have to go... So these guys have to go, like, whatever, forward.
Or yeah,
they have to travel time to defeat this alien. Yeah, which is like...
Honestly, though...
Sure.
The Edge of Tomorrow was better. in my opinion. That's just my personal. Can I be honest? When I first saw this film, I saw it because I follow Chris Pratt on Instagram. So I saw he was promoting because he actually was also, so he's the main actor. Plus he was executive producer on the film. And it's quite funny. If you watch like B-roll footage, he's like, so I got permission from the executive producer, me, to show you behind the scenes of, so like he was really riding on this whole executive producer thing. Even with the other actors, he was like, no, I'm their boss. Yeah, I have to tell them what to do, you know, like, so, but anyway, he posted about it and I looked at it and I was like, okay, Chris Pratt, you know, it's probably a good movie because Chris Pratt is in it, but I honestly didn't feel like watching another end of the world movie. Like, I really didn't want to, you know, and you're just like, oh, here we go. He's going to have to save his family. Someone's almost going to die. Cause you know, we had just watched Greenland and like, I feel like a very big movie genre right now is the end of the world and aliens. So yeah, it was just like
another one of those.
Yeah. I must be honest though, it was different. I liked the storyline. There were surprises within the storyline, which I never saw coming. The CG was okay-ish.
I loved the aliens, I must just say, when they first came on, because they actually sort of really, suspend you from
if
you look at the trailer, you don't get any close-ups.
No, you don't, no.
And the first time they seen, because obviously, I mean, look, I'm not sure how far in the movie you are, and the way that they bring the aliens in, you're like hearing about it, you're hearing about the commotion, you're hearing about the damage, you're hearing about how scary they are, and then like you're seeing a lot of different stuff in the film, like the way that they, we're pulled up through time, all of that. And I was just like, okay, that's cool. Okay, that's interesting. Okay, that's not interesting. You know, the way they just fell out of the sky.
Can I just say, he was supposed to fall in, on, not in the pool. He was going for the cement.
He was.
He was headed for the ground.
And then he went.
And then, I don't know what happened. I was just like, that wasn't so. I was watching it with people. And I was just like, no. You know, you just like, seriously. Really?
It was just a East Coast draft wind that came in.
But the last moment.
And it starts like that. Like it's shoo, and shoo, and then, he's like standing there, he's like, and then.
Yeah. And the start was strong. The start was very strong.
You're like, no, what? What the heck? And then it goes back to like now, cause now it's like futuristic. And the next minute you go back where the movie starts and it's like, what was it? 2023 or something. No,
25 or 28 or something. It was later. It was more towards 2030.
Well,
that's 30
years from 2048, I think. Anyway, it's 30 years before that.
Yes.
Yes, that one.
I must be honest, I enjoyed this film more than Greenland though. Greenland was heavy. It was a heavy movie to watch. And obviously the ending wasn't bad, but it was, you know, when you're just watching the whole, I remember when the kid got stolen, I was traumatized. I was like, what are they doing? Like,
when that happens.
Oh my word.
You know, I thought that about our previous movie. When kids are involved, I'm just like, no.
But also
no,
the wife, cause she was separated from her husband, which is traumatic because now she's trying to protect her kid. But also, you know, like for a woman, the man is the one that's like, no, we're going to go there. We're going to do this. He's the protector. Now he's not there. So now there's already a stress level because it's like, then the kid gets to, I was finished. I was just like, this one's not like that. It's for me, this one's got a little bit more humor in it, which just helps it not be heavy. So it's still like, it's not heavy.
Through this film, I actually got a good tip on horror films because I was almost analyzing what I was feeling.
Oh, yeah?
You know,
actually, it's true.
We've just come from another horror. We're going to another horror. You know that when someone is in danger and they're running away from a creature in confined spaces, that's where it was very scary because they were like in the stairs. They're like looking for these things and you don't see them. They're in the future for quite a while and you're like, okay, wait, where are the aliens? Like you're hearing them. But
and the worst part is they're civilians. They're not even soldiers. They haven't been trained.
That's the part I didn't understand.
I actually have some juicy information about that.
I was just like,
but it wasn't confirmed in the actual
film.
Why
are they sitting around? No wonder why only 70%, like 70% of them die. I'm like, they should be like doing like, they should be like buffing them up and stuff. And they're just sitting around having nice chats about the past and about family life and how beautiful. I'm like, dude, forget your family.
But they
you
still said it won't help. They said that the basic training, everything that you normally get taught apparently in the situation would not help.
Like gun targeting, just I'm just like, no, like, do something. Okay, obviously, the nice thing was that your main character was ex-military. The minute he said, and you only find that out, like, on the edge.
Yeah, like, just as they're gonna go.
You don't look scared. No. Why?
Ex-military.
Are you ex-military? Long story. No, long story. Are you ex-military? Yep. Yes. I guess that's the short story.
And then to the future they go.
And even the way they're holding their guns and stuff, I'm like, yeah, that's it. Don't.
I must be honest. I eventually was like, yeah, they're going to die. You're so stressed. You're just like, you know what? I'm not even stressing anymore. I'm accepting they're all dead because you're just at that point of like, they're so going to die.
When the aliens came in, but then, like I was saying, when they're in confined spaces, like I was at, like the most stressed, but then I found that once they'd come out the building and they were in a lot more of a bigger area, I was just like, shoot them. Yeah, kill them. No, don't let that one get away. Quickly there. Hurry. Why are you doing that? You know, then.
Yeah. But back to the CG. The aliens were good. I agree. The other CG, the fires were not that great. There was one point at the end of the movie, they go to, in the film, they went to Russia, right? But they actually filmed in Iceland. But I think it was in the film the they had gone to Russia. There was this part where, I don't know, I can't remember what happened. I think Chris Pratt or someone was jumping to or from an alien. And I was like, it was so fake. I still said to the people I was watching with, that was so fake. They were like, yeah, no, it was fake. I just remember that part. But Shay, maybe they were focusing on the aliens, you know. They were like, let's make the aliens as scary as possible.
Yeah.
And then like, do the other stuff quickly afterwards. Yeah. Now, in the film, Chris Pratt has a father who is played by J.K. Simmons, who is 66 years old.
It was good to see him. And he had a beard and I was like...
And he was buff.
Different character.
No, completely different. Yeah. Now, apparently, the director of the film, Chris, he actually based J.K. Simmons' character on an Instagram picture that had been posted of Simmons. It went viral in 2016 when his trainer posted about him. It was a series of gym shots where it showed him with a huge shaggy white beard, wearing a sleeveless muscle shirt, doing intense bicep curls with his biceps bulging out incredibly. When it came to casting the role of the crazy dad who is living off the grid, the director said he immediately recalled the viral images and reached out to Simmons and asked him, hey, I don't know what shape you're in now, but if it's possible, I really want you to get that jacked up guy again and grow out your beard. Simmons said that the 2016 pictures, he said they blew up after it was posted on Instagram. He nevertheless accepted the role and he was attracted by the challenge of building that body again. In the final film, his muscular arms are on full display, first in a tight bicep hugging t-shirt and later in a sleeveless muscle shirt that shows off his biceps even more prominently.
Yeah, he was cool. Because usually we see him, I mean, he was in Law and Order. Usually you see him as this office guy.
Yes, strict, with like the suit and...
Yeah, you know, what the hell's going on here? You do your job, you know, that kind of thing. And here he is, he's like off the grid and he's all like rough and...
He reminded me a lot of Mel Gibson, I must be honest. I think it's the white beard. Because you know Mel Gibson's been rocking that white beard for a long time now.
Oh, well, you know, you kind of don't have a choice.
You could shave or you could keep it. So there is choice.
The color, you know.
You could dye it, right?
But then like every day it grows. Imagine. Then
you have an ombre beard.
Yeah. What do they call them? Highlights. You can have highlights in your beard.
Wow.
Coming up, guys. Fashion around you. I just started a trend. Although, you know. Yeah. Wow. Just a theory.
Now, with J.K. Simmons, he actually, like, intimidated a lot of the younger guys on set because of his great physique. And, I mean, he's 66 and, I mean, I think he was the oldest on set. But apparently, he also shocked his much younger male co-stars with his muscular physique. Chris Pratt, who's 42, said, "It was unbelievable. I was like, is that even possible? He's got prison muscles." I was like, dude, where have you been? I can't tell you how many times I've talked about JK's arms. He looks freaking jacked in this movie. The J in JK stands for jacked. He's ripped. So that was Chris Pratt's comment about him. Then also Edwin Hodge, who plays... I think he plays... Who does he play? I think he might have played... You know, there was the guy that had gone back in the future... I mean, sorry, to the future like 3 times already. And he like...
Yeah.
I think it's him. He also said of J.K. Simmons... So he added, Simmons put the buff young men in the film to shame, saying he's very jacked. I hope I look that good at his age. It was pretty ridiculous. You could see all of his veins. His muscles are bigger than mine, and I thought I had big muscles at the time. He's a thoroughbred. Simmons was thrilled with the praise and said, if nothing else comes from this movie, I'm happy. Director Chris added, he was like Coney Island strongman stuff. You expected him to be crushing cans off his biceps. Simons even received compliments from Pratt's wife. Do you know who Chris Pratt's married to?
Something Pratt.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's daughter.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes.
That's right. I actually watched an interview of that and what Arnold actually said about him.
Yeah.
In fact, I remember Chris Pratt saying that he had to buff himself up just to impress his
father-in-law. Yeah. He was first married to, you know, do you remember the blonde chick? She was in Overboard and she was also in the scary movies. She's often in comedies.
I know you're talking
He was
about.
First married to her. I think they were married for 8 years. They had a kid together and then they got divorced and he then married, years later, Catherine Schwarzenegger. And she also said that she commented on how jacked he is. And I mean, that's from Arnold Schwarzenegger's daughter. So if she's saying it, then, you know, you did a really good job.
Well, Arnold was like, I must say, I was really, really impressed. You know, watch, I think he was doing something. In fact, I think he rocked up at his house and he was still working out or something. Something like that. And he was just like, he still commented on a specific exercise he was doing. He was like, he was really impressed by those, whatever, bench presses or something like that.
Wow. So Chris Pratt posted the following on his Instagram page on November 9th, 2019. He said, this is my first time executive producing on a movie and I can finally post about it. The title Ghost Draft turned out to be problematic for various reasons, so we started looking at other options. So originally this film was actually supposed to be called Ghost Draft. So then they went through a whole lot of names. The names were, number one, Generation Alien. Generation Alien.
Nah.
Number two, World War A.
I
just feel like no, because of World War Z.
Yep.
Yeah. No. Next one, Generation Gone. That's cool. That is cool. Oh, wow. The next one, Saving Private Ra-Alien. Okay, I think Chris Pratt is, you know, he's got a very good sense of humor. So, yeah. The next one is WWZ2, but with A's, not Z's. Okay, the next one is Horizon White Spike. Obviously, the aliens were called White Spikes. Another one is Hero, movie brought to you by Verizon. Another one is Jurassic Draft. That would have been nice, Jurassic Draft. Generation Draft. And then Alien Dawn, Rapture Dawn, Apocalypse Dawn, Hero Dawn, Destiny War, Saving Tomorrow, and then the Tomorrow War.
Active FM Dawn.
So the Tomorrow War was chosen, and yeah, that's what they went with, the Tomorrow War.
I must just say, like, the whole turnout of the story was, like, I didn't expect it. Because I didn't expect, obviously...
Don't spoil, right? Don't give that spoiler.
You expect a specific thing to happen? Yeah, because this movie is fresh, hey? It got released on July the 2nd.
Yep.
Like, we're just a couple of days afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it came out and we were like, okay, watching it. But the ending was, for me, was very satisfying.
No, the whole thought, honestly, so in the beginning I said I didn't feel like watching another end of the world movie. After watching it, I actually enjoyed it. I was like, that was a good movie. And I loved the emphasis on family. Like, literally, at the end of the movie, he says, the best version of my life is the one where I'm with my family. Like, I loved the message of that. I loved how he even in the film says, I want to save my daughter. And if I have to save the whole world to do it, then I'm going to do it. Like, there was a strong message of family in it.
Because his daughter's like, stop this from ever happening. I'm like, wait, we can turn this around still? Mm-hmm. I'm like, wow.
Now, in the film, so we all know, what is Arnold Schwarzenegger's most famous line, right?
I'll be back.
Exactly. Do you know Chris Pratt in this film says, I will be back to his daughter, which is a slight variation, obviously, from I'll be back. But I'm pretty sure, you know, there was a tie. He maybe was trying to improve. Maybe at the premiere, he like, okay, there probably wasn't a premiere, but maybe like they all went to Arnold Schwarzenegger's house to watch it. And then he like,
this one's for you, Dad.
Yeah. So Chris Pratt said that the shooting location for the winter scenes in Russia was on a glacier in Iceland that has never been filmed on before. So they were the first people to film on it. This is crazy. He added that a few weeks prior to shooting, a couple's so a couple's bodies had been discovered down a fissure, and they appear to be preserved from about 1940. Obviously with the ice, you know how the ice will preserve a dead body so it won't decompose. But apparently, so a few weeks before shooting, they actually found this couple's, their bodies that had been, they'd been frozen up in the ice, but they, when they checked, it's been from the year 1940. How crazy is that?
Wow.
So Chris Pratt literally said in an interview, he made sure he didn't take any wrong step, because otherwise in 2080, they'll be finding his body in Iceland on this glacier. Mm-hmm.
I guess that's why they've never really filmed there before. Hey?
Right. This is crazy. So this is what I mentioned earlier. So you know how you said you don't understand why they send civilians, which also, like, it wasn't 100% clear on why they send civilians. It was kind of like they just needed the help type of thing. Do you know that in the original script, the soldiers from the past were secretly poisoned with a toxin which eventually killed the aliens who consumed them? So the plot twist explained why they did not need training. They were always meant to be expandable bait, but that was not included in the movie.
Kamikaze, like.
But I don't
stuff.
Know. They should have included that in the movie. But that's disgusting.
That would have made it more. Think about it, because you could have actually added more intensity into it.
Exactly.
Because there would have been a thing of, wait, they sent us here to die, you know, yeah. type of thing. Like, no, we'll fight back. We're gonna wipe
and
this
the
out.
The alien comes, and then the alien's comes like, back. And then they're like, why is the alien dying?
And then he comes back, you know, to his present time, and he's like, I'm back.
You see?
Mister, you guys sent us out that you see, you could have.
Exactly.
You know, yeah.
Maybe they didn't want the people from the future to look evil, because that would have put them in more of an antagonistic.
So they just view. Bait. They're like waving.
But that explains the no training thing. Like, that explains
you
it
see?
Perfectly.
Damn it. No.
How funny was, so you know Chris Pratt made friends with the guy that talks a lot.
That guy's a comedian.
How funny was he? He wouldn't stop talking. Like, at times you were like, this guy's going to die. I like him because he's
funny.
And
he carries on.
But he's just going to die. And he never, spoiler alert. Yeah, no, he didn't.
I think I kind of got that from the movie.
Yeah, he didn't die.
I just felt like, they're not going to die. These are probably the heroes. There you go. There's your two heroes right there.
Right. But I must say, the plot twist was very nice. And I was watching behind the scenes footage. Did you see behind the scenes? Any behind the scenes footage?
Really fine, no.
So they have they filmed a lot of it green screen, and like there were wires and cables and all of that for the stunts. But you know, when they're in Miami fighting on the street,
yeah,
they actually had, they were on location there. But it was the weirdest thing, because you see, I don't know where they filmed that. I don't think they filmed it in Miami, because in an interview, Chris Pratt said, so this is supposed to be Miami, which kind of gives out that they're not filming in Miami. But they were on a highway, and underneath, you know how there's the double deckers? So you have highways on top of highways, if I can word it like that. So in the footage, you see they're on this one highway, and there's cars, and there's that have like crashed and fire, and they're running around shooting.
Oh, cool.
But you know when they shoot, they're actually, the guns obviously aren't shooting, but it's, yeah, they look like they're shooting.
Firecrackers.
Yes, exactly. But the craziest thing was the camera zoomed out slightly, and literally underneath them on the highway that was underneath that specific highway. Am I making sense?
Yeah, you spoke about the double deck.
Yes,
the
so highway, the lower one.
The lower level.
There was normal cars and traffic and everything. So here they are like in the middle of the, imagine you're like driving on the highway, and next minute you're like, what is happening? And then you realize, oh no, they're just filming a movie. I suppose they're used to it in America. They probably are used to it.
Another movie.
They probably have signs up saying like filming in progress.
Filming, yeah.
But literally I was like, what? Cause in the movie it looks completely deserted, obviously, because the aliens have ransacked the city. And you know, I think if you were in a car, they even took out the it wasn't tanks. It was those big army trucks. I mean, the aliens took those out. So if you were in a car, I think you were finished, because the aliens would have
come. And they ran, eh?
Yeah, no, they did.
Those things ran fast.
And the fact that they shot
The minute they said white spikes, I was just like, why do they call them white spikes? And then when they arrive in the place, you see the spikes against the wall. I'm like, ooh.
Okay. And they're white.
That makes this like terrifying.
Yeah, no, they were freaky.
I'm shaking.
When we were watching it, we were like, shh. But then it's because we just watched A Quiet Place. So in our minds, we were like, they're going to hear you. But it's not A Quiet Place aliens. These are different. They classified them as planet clearing aliens. So, and they said that this movie actually linked quite a bit to, remember that movie Prometheus? I think it was called Prometheus.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And also Alien. You know the movie Alien?
Yeah.
Cause I can't remember which one it was, but in one of them also there was, so aliens came, but they were I think they called them the pilots, and then they on board they had other aliens which kind of like do their dirty work for them and like clean the planet and kill whatever lives on the planet. And the same in this film, at the end they realize you don't see the clever or the intelligent or non-predator aliens that were flying the ship. You just see the white spikes, which are the planet clearing ones,
pit bulls. Just release them.
I think they're way worse than pit bulls.
Yeah, no, definitely. I was trying to find out what was their idea around. I mean, I sort of spotted like different ideas, put together.
Yeah.
Mashed together type of thing.
They were different though. That was nice.
They were very different.
Yeah, it was like something fresh. Like, oh, okay, we haven't seen this before.
That's what I was saying. I thought it was cool. So, when designing the white spikes, director Chris McKay basically told the crew, I want you to be scared and think you're going to get hurt just looking at this thing.
Ew.
All right. And so, well, basically, when you see this, these actual creatures, now, I thought they were like super, I mean, at first when they come on, you're like, whoa, like you're trying to look how they operate.
At first it looks like it's a snake. Yeah. You know how they first brought it in?
Yes.
The thing that shoots. I was like, it slithers, and then eventually fully immersed.
Expecting like, was it Predators? You know, Predators versus Aliens?
Yes.
You know the Predators. Mm-hmm. Almost got that type of feel. At first. Mm. The way that they basically introduced. But now this is from a website that I'm basically quoting now. So the journey towards making the monsters started with the simple parameters that came with their name in Zach Dean's script. They're called white spikes for a reason. All right. So we had to kind of reverse engineer. And so we gave them the pale color. All right. For those who haven't watched the movie, we're giving you a bit of insight here. All right. I'll try not to give too much detail, but it's really, really cool. And we gave them the ability to shoot spikes, right? Which we've already said.
White spikes.
So the rest was up to their imagination. Now, during pre-production, we developed the creature really in three phases. All right. And they basically go the whole thing of they had a concept. And if you look at the concept art, they actually look a bit more scarier than the actual film.
Really?
Well, a bit more quite weird, because in the actual concept art,
them
and I didn't get this too much, but so we spoke about these like slithering, like almost arms, like almost like snake, like. But those things shoot spikes, but they also like walk on them.
Oh yes.
And then you can see how they can actually even swim underwater, which now they've evolved from The Quiet Place, because now they can swim underwater.
I at first thought they couldn't swim.
I think I'll say that in the back of my mind.
Phew, they can't swim. Next one, I'm like, what?
Yeah. No. Exactly. So. So basically. The pale color, the rest. So we developed them in the three phases. So the concept art. And then the other thing that they then looked at was the modeling and that. And then the animation. Now get this. So the person that was behind a lot of the concept art and stuff like that, this guy's in credits include Aquaman.
Oh, wow.
Pacific Rim.
Huh.
For the first part, they also recruited illustrators Ken, who was basically a Maze Runner. And remember Maze Runner the monsters?
Yes, they
remember
were good.
They were like these odd, weird, but kind of weird. And then Carlos, which was from Blade Runner, to figure out the unique, frightening look of the white spikes. And
for is this guy's speciality monsters?
These guys, yeah, these illustrators. So when they put, because, you know, obviously if someone's going to say, I want you to make something that's terrifying to just look at.
Mm.
Already, you've got to start. You can't just do, oh, monster. You have to like think, okay, they're going to have head like this. Because if you, if now I'm right now looking at a picture and like, really, I'm looking at their head and the way that it's pointed, and you can see, and the way the eyes are and the way the teeth, it's designed to look extremely, extremely frightening. All right. So we spent several months on the process. We had versions of the creatures, that were sort of humanoid, as if maybe they were, you know, sort of Dublins of the human race. And then we had other versions which were, reptilian. So they probably had like scales and stuff like that. But even on set, they would have like parts for them to interact with, because I think the most challenging thing is during filming. You've got to have something prepared so the actors know what they're fighting with. Not only that, but for me, the most difficult part when you start adding digital to the actual filming, the live action filming, is that the humans are either going to interact with them or they're not. Yeah. Now, either they can keep the distance, they keep the space available for the shot to say, okay, they're going to be here. But then also they've got to look, the actors have to look at something. But then when they have to interact with them, and there was quite a bit of interacting.
No, there was.
They had parts, and sometimes I think that they even said that they had sometimes even men in green suits would stand in to use like force against the actors. Sometimes they would have like sculptured stuff that they could hold and grab and stuff like that. So obviously with this well-designed alien in mind, then going onto the live action set, they would have to interact with them really, really well so that they could make the digital fit nicely with the, you know, so they had full-sized puppets on sets that occupied the right space volumes that they could move around with the actors so it looks proper. Sometimes we had somebody in a green suit working against the person. Sometimes we just had a rig. So obviously trying to make it feel as natural as possible, they even went as far as to have a stunt person in a gray suit and photograph them right alongside the actor. We had pieces, whether it was a leg or a tentacle, that the actors would grab onto. We had made a lot of practical props that were eventually replaced, but we gave the actor that realistic performance because we were doing our best to shoot the movie as if the creatures were actually there. And I think that would have been something that would have really, really added on to the filming and the performance reaction from the actors.
The actors would have been grateful for that, because a lot of actors are thrown into a green room with nothing and said, go do the scene. And you're like,
or they have a picture.
That's the thing.
That's the monster. Okay.
It's not that
scary.
Does
it make noise? How does it move? It moves like this. And then you're like, okay. And then of course, everyone has to have the same idea as well. All the actors. Like, why are you looking there, man? Oh, I thought he was tall. You know, so they.
But normally with eyeline, they'll put like a ball.
Tennis ball.
Yeah, a tennis ball on a stick. Or, do you know, for A Quiet Place, John Krasinski often would get in a motion capture suit and be the monster, the aliens.
What? Is it?
I think because he knew what he wanted from the actors, and he's an actor himself. So he probably just thought, you know what, let me get this performance out of them.
I think that's quite interesting, because obviously for someone to be the writer and obviously the director, that works out really well.
Yeah.
Because they can really, really do it well, is that obviously they have the world. They know exactly. Mm. They have the feel. They've got this whole like world.
It's in their
inside
mind.
Of their mind that they've got to bring out. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was a very good film. I enjoyed it. Ryan, did you find it long? Or was it? I found it slightly long, but the next day I was thinking about it. So I was like, it's not a bad, if I'm thinking about it, that generally for a film, if you don't enjoy it that much, you generally aren't, it doesn't get like caught up in your thoughts type of thing. So, but I mean, it wasn't like, I've watched longer films like Zodiac. Don't watch Zodiac. That movie's like 3 hours and we didn't know. We were sitting at like 9 o'clock like, I want to sleep.
How long is this film?
We looked, we had like an hour left. We're like, what?
Yeah, I've had that before. Yeah. I've had that. I'm just like, okay, I'm not going to watch the rest of the film right now. I'm just so not into this film. Well, how long is 138 minutes? 90 minutes is an hour and a half, isn't it?
So it was only 138 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. It was over 2 hours.
Really?
Yeah, because 2 hours is 120 minutes.
Okay, I'm shocked.
So it was 2 hours and about, it was, yeah, like 2 hours, 20 minutes to round it off.
I tried to watch this with my family. There were the in-between parts they would watch. And then I would like, because I was streaming from my Mac, you know, onto my TV. And then I would like, then the scary parts would come. And then I would just like, take it off the screen. I'd sit there like this. My kid would be like, daddy, I want to watch. I'm like, trust me, just, I'll tell you. And he's like, okay, tell me when they fight.
Shame. I watched this. We actually had a couple of people come over, so I watched this with people. So it was more of like an interactive movie watching session. But my mom was quite funny. She watched the beginning, read the middle, and watched the end. That's what she did. Yeah.
All right, I'll give you a heads up, and then you give the heads up, and then you're like, okay, let's enjoy the film.
I by mistake read a spoiler before watching it.
Is it?
So I kind of had like, yeah, I knew at the end, okay, I'm not going to spoil it.
I want to watch this film again. I'll tell you why, because without the intensity, I want to get the details.
The details,
so I'm
definitely
going to be watching it again, yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely good. And the humor was nice. Yeah.
Hilarious.
Yes.
Of course.
Chris Pratt.
Yes.
Executive producer. Himself.
Yes, giving us spoilers.
So this has been The Movie Show right here on Active FM.
And until next week.
Mm-hmm. We will be back.
With another movie.
Yes.
I guess.
Mm-hmm. So this is us signing out.
Cheers.
Peace out.
Active FM.